Hello and welcome to episode 678 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this evening. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We're recording on Tuesday, October 10th, 2023, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Tuesday prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain a good death by St. Alphonsus Liguori. O Mary, how shall I die? Even now that I think of my sins and of that decisive moment on which my salvation or eternal damnation depends, of that moment in which I must expire and be judged, I tremble and am confounded. O my most sweet mother, my hopes are in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thy intercession. O comfortress of the afflicted, do not then abandon me. Cease not to console me in that moment of so great affliction. If I am now so tormented by remorse for sins committed, the uncertainty of pardon, the danger of relapse, and the rigor of divine justice, what will become of me then? Unless thou helpest me, I shall be lost. Ah, my lady, before death, obtain me great sorrow for my sins, thorough amendment and fidelity to God during the remainder of my life. And when my last moment arrives, O Mary, my hope, help me in the great distress in which I shall then be. Encourage me that I may not despair at the sight of my sins, which the devil will place before me. Obtain that I may then invoke thee more frequently, so that I may expire with thy most sweet name and that of thy beloved Son on my lips. Nay more, my lady, but forgive my boldness. Before I expire, do thou come thyself and comfort me with thy presence. Thou hast granted this favor to so many of thy devout servants. I also desire and hope it. I am a sinner, it is true. I do not deserve so great a favor, but I am thy servant, love thee, and have full confidence in thee. O Mary, I shall expect thee. Do not disappoint me of this consolation. At least, if I am not worthy of so great a favor, do thou help me from heaven, that I may leave this life loving God and thee to love thee eternally in paradise. Amen. Today, friends, we're going to take a look at the final article from the fall 2023 edition of the Fatima Crusader, published by the Fatima Center. Issue number 131. This is entitled The Laity's True Mission by Father John Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L. This past July, I was asked by the Fatima Center to write an article for the Fatima Crusader. I felt honored to be asked, as I find this publication to be excellent. I was given a list of topics to choose from, all of which dealt with the upcoming Synod on Synodality, as this issue of the Crusader is preparing readers to identify and refute its errors. Since the Second Vatican Council, one area of concern is the role of the laity. Now, some lay delegates have been given a vote at the October Synod. As I started researching for this article, my first instinct was to show the value of biological fathers and mothers, along with the proper role of the Catholic family, often called the domestic church. Upon further reflection, knowing that the readership of this magazine includes traditional Catholics, who know better than most the proper roles of fathers and mothers, I want to instead highlight the practical steps that can be taken on the local level to begin correcting the errors we see running rampant. Calculated to deceive. It should be noted that each of us should be concerned with the instrumentum laboris, the working document of the synod. The Holy See, with the Pope as the head, should be seen as a sign of a unity and the Pope himself as the guarantor of the Church's obedience. Much ink has been spilt in preparation for and in critique of this synod, starting at the diocesan and parochial level. On the local level, we saw an outright dismissal of any traditional suggestions specifically regarding the traditional Roman Rite. While conferences of bishops, especially in Europe and North America, pressed for listening sessions with the laity, they only wanted to hear from certain groups. On the world stage, one of the most eloquent interventions against the synod has come from Bishop Athanasius Schneider. In a June 29, 2023 article published on the website The Catholic Thing titled, A New Synodal Church Undermines the Catholic Church, Bishop Schneider sounded the alarm that this synod threatens to undermine the divine constitution of the church as well as divine moral law and the life and mission of the church. He concludes by stating, the instrumentum laboris, substitutes the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church with a fantasy synodal church that is worldly, bureaucratic, anthropocentric, neo-Pelagian, and hierarchically and doctrinally vague, all the while masking these features behind unctuous expressions such as conversation in the spirit. I highly encourage everyone to read this important article. Having been a canceled priest for more than a decade, I would like to propose that while it might seem like the Holy See is stripping itself of authority in favor of a synodal path, in reality it is gathering power in a tightly knit circle of clerics that surround the Pope. The fantasy of a synodal church, as Bishop Schneider points out, is exactly that, a fantasy, or more exactly, a charade. One clear example of this is the motu proprio, Traditionis Custodes. Prior to its publication 2 years ago, one would never have expected that a Vatican dicastery would be regulating what a local parish publishes in its Sunday bulletin. Yet we also now know that the Dicastery for Divine Worship is telling some U.S. bishops that they will need to stop the traditional Mass in their dioceses by a certain date. Systematic persecution of orthodoxy. When I was canceled in July of 2012, I was restricted in ministry in a non-penal, non-judicial way. I was not suspended, and the bishop even made clear that I did not commit a delict crime. I was simply shelved. My canonists advised me to seek hierarchical recourse with Rome, and in the ensuing years, I saw my case transferred from one dicastery to another. I also noticed that the bishop was given the benefit of the doubt by Roman bureaucrats in the dicasteries, and even the opportunity to present evidence without my knowledge. I only know this because when a decree from Rome eventually came, it contained information to which I was not privy. I make mention of my case to illustrate a problem that the Coalition for Canceled Priests has been noticing since its foundation, namely, a pattern across the world of Orthodox priests being removed by bishops sidestepping canon law in a non-penal and non-judicial way, and the Vatican siding with them, not by the facts presented in the case, but because the bishop toes the Vatican's modernist agenda. The notion that the College of Bishops acts more like a boys' club is nothing new. However, the sidestepping and misuse of canon law to impose one's will and ideology must stop. While many traditional Catholics might be leery of the 1983 Code of Canon Law, it certainly can be critiqued, it should be noted that it does afford both clerics and the laity the right to object to the current course which the church hierarchy seems to be taking. Canon 212, paragraph 3, is often quoted, but one should look at Canon 211 first. All the Christian faithful have the duty and right to work so that the divine message of salvation more and more reaches all people in every age and in every land. I am not a canonist, but clearly 212 safeguards 211. All Catholics, clergy and laity, have not only the right but the duty to transmit the divine message, i.e. the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we hear someone like Cardinal Designate, Americo Manuel Alves Aguiar, deny the Great Commission to evangelize the whole world, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, not only does a Catholic have the right to object, but he has a duty as long as it is done with the utmost charity. The Venerable Fulton Sheen spoke most aptly about our current situation. Who's going to save our church? It's not our bishops, it's not our priests, and it is not the religious. It is up to you, the people. You have the minds, the eyes, and the ears to save the church. Your mission is to see that the priests act like priests, your bishops act like bishops, and the religious act like religious. As I researched for this article, I was amazed at how often this quote is misrepresented, as though the laity need to get more involved with church bureaucracy, taking roles once held exclusively by the clergy. The reality is that the laity must act as a good wife and call the husbands of the church, i.e. the bishops and priests, to more perfect responsibility and accountability. As a canceled priest who deals daily with other canceled priests, I know from experience that most bishops and priests today have failed in their responsibility to be not only pastors, but spiritual fathers. The long road ahead. The practical steps of restoring responsibility, in my opinion, will not be achieved overnight. In fact, the fruits of our labors might not be seen in our lifetime. The faithful must look to St. Monica as an example and guide. She spent decades praying for the conversion of her son, St. Augustine. First, the laity need to fast and pray. This is almost sounding cliche at this point, but both working in unison are the best remedy. Moreover, this is what Our Lady of Fatima prescribed. And who of us would dare presume to know better than she? Even the best remedies need practical application, which brings us to our second point. The laity need to organize proper catechesis to educate each other in the deposit of faith. When a priest or the rare bishop is willing to help, great, but do not count on it. As early as 1957, Sister Lucia told Father Fuentes, quote, "We should not wait for an appeal to the world to come from Rome on the part of the Holy Father to do penance, nor should we wait for the call to penance to come from our bishops and our diocese, nor from the religious congregations. No, our Lord has already very often used these means, and the world has not paid attention. That is why now it is necessary for each one of us to begin to reform himself spiritually. Each person must not only save his own soul, but also help to save all the souls that God has placed on our path," end quote. The truth of her words is all too apparent today. As I travel across America, I am amazed at how many traditional Catholics think that once they find a solid bishop or priest, they need not exert themselves further, thinking, Father will take care of it. While many rightly criticize the internet, we should not forget that we live in an age in which one can easily access good catechesis. Third, the laity need to confront, albeit charitably, their priest and bishop when they do something wrong. As a canceled priest, I have learned that paper trails work both ways, and a writing campaign might seem ineffective at first, but it is still a written record that could help and even embolden future generations. So often I find traditionalists who seem to want to retreat from the world instead of evangelizing it. We must avoid that temptation at all costs. Fourth, the laity need to insist that the bishops stop being transferred from one diocese to another. Pope Benedict XVI was in favor of this when he was prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith. Sadly, he seemed to ignore this as pope. Careerism is a cancer in the clergy, and too many bishops suffer from it. A bishop needs to start seeing his diocese as his bride, not as a stepping stone. Reminding bishops of this is a start, and keeping up a steady campaign can bring about change. Ask St. Catherine of Siena for guidance on how to approach a bishop. The church has faced many crises since the first Pentecost, most notably the Arian heresy, the Eastern and Western schisms, and the Protestant Revolution. As Catholics who follow the message of Our Lady at Fatima, we know that hardships will come. We must do our best to preserve and transmit the faith to as many souls as possible. This present crisis will be seen by future generations for the charade that it is. The modernists often say that Vatican II ushered in the age of the laity. It is now time for the traditional lay faithful to bring forth the great reforming saints that always follow a major crisis. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. And many thanks to Father John Lavelle for writing this article. Father Lavelle is originally from the southern suburbs of Chicago. He was ordained for the Diocese of Rockford in 2007. Father studied at Mount St. Mary's Seminary, where he obtained a master's in dogmatic theology. In 2012, while Father was studying at the Dominican House of Studies, he was removed/canceled by the new bishop of Rockford, David J. Malloy. For the past decade, Father Lavelle has fought for his good name and has helped other priests in the same situation. In the spring of 2021, he co-founded the Coalition for Canceled Priests. More info can be found at www.canceledpriests.org. And I would like to conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. That's 277 and 548, and please share those with everyone you know. Those episodes pertain to RPM, which is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was 8, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to RPM, her hard work, and that of her mother and everyone else in our family, we know that Brielle is a comprehensive genius. I've mentioned before, that's not a phrase I use lightly. She can compose music. She's a wonderful poet, brilliant in regards to mathematics. She knows foreign languages. She has so many skills, so many talents, and we would have known none of that without RPM. Imagine how frustrated you would be if you had all of these abilities and were unable to share any of them. Not even being able to tell people your favorite color, your favorite hobbies, likes and dislikes, let alone your hopes and dreams for the future. That's the situation Brielle was in before RPM. She's not in that situation anymore. And I've had the pleasure and the privilege to meet a lot of non-speakers who've broken through to open communication via RPM. And they're some of the most kind, compassionate, and intelligent human beings you've ever met in your life. There could be thousands, tens of thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of people like this across the world who are still trapped in this prison of silence. Communication is a human right. RPM takes these folks out of the prison of silence and gets them into the world of open communication where they belong. People initially had a problem with sign language. It's my understanding that Alexander Graham Bell wasn't a fan of sign language. Many other people weren't also. Now sign language is widely accepted as a way of communication for the deaf. We want the same thing to come about for rapid prompting method, but we need your help. Please spread the word. Once again, halo-soma.org and episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. If you don't know any non-speakers, you probably will at some point in the future. So remember that information. Thank you so much for listening to the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please tune in again tomorrow. Goodbye and God love you.